Welcome to MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we highlight nonprofit leaders and everyday heroes who are making an impact in our community through their purpose, their passion, and their generosity. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I invite you to join me for a conversation about how our guest is making a difference and learn how you can make a difference as well. Have you ever experienced a burden or a challenge in your life when the weight of it became unbearable and your strength to handle it seemed to be diminishing? And then you finally reach the point where you have mustered up the courage to reach out, only to find services unavailable, lines busy, or the system telling you to wait. Not because you didn't matter, but because support isn't always immediate. It's not always accessible or built for urgency. What happens when systems or resources don't always meet people where they are or when they need them the most? Or maybe the support system that you once relied on no longer exists or it isn't available on time. What happens then? My guests today are Jennifer Zilke, Certified Peer Support Specialist, and Melissa Wisniewski, Administrative Assistant at Our Space, a nonprofit that recognizes that these challenging situations exist, and as a result, they've come up with some solutions by exploring alternatives like community-based support and personal resilience. Our guests today bring lived experience, professional insight, and a deep understanding of what it means to build support that truly meets people where they are. Welcome to the show today, ladies.
Hi.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be sharing space with you.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Sharing space about our space,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Why don't you start by sharing the mission and some of the history of our space?
Okay. Our space, our mission is to empower individuals living with mental illness and substance use issues to achieve their full potential by providing recovery-oriented, strength-based, person-centered services in a safe, accepting environment. We were founded in 1987 by a group of professionals, family members, clergy, and mental health professionals to create a safe, inclusive space for people. We absolutely provide recovery-oriented, peer-centered services that foster empowerment, independence, and community integration for individuals living with mental health or substance use challenges. We believe in the power of lived experience, peer support, self-determination, guiding individuals to build resilience, self-sufficiency, and a meaningful connections.
Okay. Well, tell us then why each of you feels so connected to this mission then of our space.
Well, I didn't come to this work by accident. I was basically led here by everything I survived. I grew up in poverty, trauma, including sexual violence, long before I had the language to really understand what was happening to me. Like so many people, I learned early how to survive and not how to heal. Addiction became my way of coping, and over time, it took everything from me. I lost friends, I lost family, and eventually, I lost the person I loved more than anything in this world. Mm. My fiancé of 9 years at that time overdosed in my arms on April 15th, 2015. And that day changed everything. It is the day I lost him, but it is also the day that I started a new life and I mark as my clean date. Grief and survival became inseparable for me after that time. I attempted suicide. I was institutionalized. I was incarcerated. I didn't realize then that the pain I was carrying would eventually become purpose, turning me into the wounded healer I consider myself today. During that time, I was in drug court. This was a deferred prosecution agreement. During my addiction, I turned to crime to support my habits. It's not anything I'm proud of, but I was given this opportunity for this deferred prosecution agreement with drug court. And that's when something unexpected happened. Within the drug court program, you were given a peer support, and that peer support happened to be from our space. He didn't see me as a lost cause. He didn't see me as a failure, like all of the court officials did. They're like, oh, there she is with track marks all over her. He saw me as someone who lived through hell and someone still standing and someone who's still here to speak about it. It was his authenticity, his passion, his willingness to share his story with me that made such a deep impact on me. It shifted everything for me at that point. For the first time, I'd seen a future where lived experience wasn't a liability. It was leadership. And that sobriety wasn't only a possibility, it was sustainable. And that encounter changed the entire trajectory of my life and unfolded into my path. Years later, 2017, that same peer support referred me after I became a certified peer specialist to our space. And then I eventually stepped into leading Parachute House, the Peer Run Respite.
So you took the pain that you experienced and you turned it into purpose.
Absolutely.
Which it's so wonderful because, and I don't mean to downplay your experience, but it wasn't wasted. Your pain wasn't wasted. There was a purpose in it. And to turn around and help someone is really wonderful. What about your connection?
Mine was a little different. I came into our space not knowing what our space was. I was job coaching for a different agency at the time, and our space was put on my calendar, and what is our space? So, of course, out of natural curiosity, I looked it up, and I was able to go and job coach who we still have working for us now. And the minute I walked in the door, it was very different than any other place I've ever worked before. I met the executive director, just the feel was like you were in a safe place. Mm. I mean, I have, you know, history of some trauma as well. And I think just being in an environment where you're accepted and not looked at in any other way but who you are, and you bring that every day, it's a light. And not a lot of places have that light. I often refer to our spaces as kind of like a diamond in the rough, because it's, you know, it's a big building in the city, but not very known. And now
that's
more
why we do things like this, right?
Absolutely.
To get the word out.
And I think peer support is just, it's so, so important. I mean, why not walk alongside someone that has already been down a similar path or a different one, but holding your hand and doing all the things together?
Yeah. And say, I've traveled that path too. And maybe I can give you some insight that'll help.
Yeah, absolutely.
So talking about this peer support, that's one of the programs that you offer. So tell us about some of the programs that you offer, including peer support.
Well, peer support at its core, it's the foundation in everything we do. It's individuals with lived experience helping another individual move forward. Through the peer support program, people living with mental health challenges and substance use concerns are able to find meaningful connections with people who they find similar ground with, who people they don't feel intimidated by, who people they can just kind of take off their mask with and tell the untold story. And that is how our peer specialists can listen at a deeper level. They can encourage, they can empower, and it empowers people to define their own recovery goals.
Which I think is super important, right? Because you can't define it for someone else. I mean, they have to say, here's my situation, and define what specifically is their need. Okay. You have something called drop-in center and clinical services. Tell us a little bit more about those.
So the drop-in center is located in our main building. It is a place where people can come for community to be with similar individuals going through some of the same stuff that they're going through, so they don't feel isolated and alone. We offer groups, wellness groups. They do outings. We've had people that have never been out of Milwaukee before, that we've taken them to Lake Geneva and Door County and Chicago, and they've been on boats and come back and say, oh my God, I didn't know there was a world outside of Milwaukee or outside, you know, the viaduct in which I live across. So it promotes community. It promotes just overall acceptance and
community.
And community.
Yeah, which
absolutely
is so important.
Yes.
Being around people that you feel comfortable, I think, is a good place to start. Because if you're not, you don't want to tap into that resource, I would think.
No.
And then what about your clinical services?
So that is, that's new. We just got approved for clinical services. So we're in the, first part of starting all of that up. So that's our next chapter. So we're excited to see what unfolds with that in the next couple months. But we will be providing substance use clinical services. So we're excited. We're really excited. It's very new, so we're all just kind of still trying to figure it out. But yeah, that should be in the next couple of months. That should kick off.
Okay.
And clinical services with a holistic approach.
Yes.
And that's so important because, most people go into these clinical services, they've had trauma, they've, have had systematic oppression in these different environments. And we want to kind of change that and have an authentic connection with the people who are getting clinical services or who will end up getting clinical services with us.
And I think that's what we all do. Like, I think just the agency alone is very holistic. It's very different. Peer support in that regard is very different because it's, again, you're meeting someone exactly where they're at.
Yeah.
Which changes the game.
Yeah. I had a close friend of mine whose daughter went to our space, and that's actually how I first learned about it, because she had such a great experience and really wanted to be sure that other people knew who you were and how you were helping. I think everyone knows that mental health is a pervasive issue, and unfortunately, it's a challenge that many people deal with. In fact, in Wisconsin, nearly 1 in 5 adults live with a mental health condition. Yet, interestingly, more than a third of the people who need support say that they can't get it when they need it. Emergency rooms are overwhelmed. Crisis lines are overwhelmed. But the fact is that most people are not in an emergency situation. They're in that space just before it. So, if most people are not in an emergency situation yet, they're in that space just before one, the real question becomes, where do they go? Well, stay tuned, and we're going to dive into that more when we return. We'll be right back.
You're listening to MPC, brought to you by Allenbecker Investment Group. At EIG, we are committed to education. That's why we host seminars throughout the year covering topics like Medicare, estate planning, real estate investing, caregiving, personal finance, and more. And the best part? They're open to everyone. Curious about what's coming up? Visit allenbecker.com/events and join us. We'd love to see you there.
Welcome back to MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community. I'm your host, Jillie Conimo, Director of Community Relations, and I'm continuing my conversation today with Jennifer Zilke and Melissa Wisniewski from Our Space. So I said before the break that nearly 1 in 5 adults lives with a mental health condition. Yet, more than a third of those people who need support say they can't get it when they need it. What do? Where do they go? Low-level crisis services like peer-run respites fill that gap, helping people get support early before things escalate into hospitalization or law enforcement involvement or worse. So tell us about this peer-run respite program that Our Space has.
I'd love to. I love talking about it. It is a program that in Milwaukee, we're trying to create the wheel and have more of, and it does close that gap. So Parachute House is a peer-run respite. We provide a 7-day stay to individuals who are in crisis, and that can look like they're overwhelmed, they have daily stressors, they are fleeing a DV situation, they are struggling with substance use, they are having symptoms within their mental health that they need help learning different coping skills or need help processing. So we are so the variety of different individuals who can come and find a safe place and a place to connect to the Parachute House, it is endless. So we always find new reasons and new purposes for the individuals who call here that this service is needed for. When someone walks in the Parachute House, it doesn't feel like a facility. It feels like a home. We want to have a welcoming, just a flexible environment, organic environment. They have their own private room. We have access to internet, a resource library. We have a little gym stuff downstairs, yoga mats. I provide energy work. So many different things that we try to provide just a whole different world. When they walk in, they're like, wow, I feel so safe and so warm. I usually like to say, like, they're walking into a warm hug. Nice. We try to give that energy. So guests can stay up to 7 days for no cost, giving them time to pause, reset, get connected to resources. During their stay, the peers provide supportive conversations, group activities, as well as meals, wellness act, and so many different things. We gauge it by the individual and what their needs are, and then we offer kind of a menu of activities and what they can utilize while they're in the house. There's no clinical assessments. There's no forced treatments. Everything is self-directed. There's no expectations to fix or to even to heal, because that is on the individual themselves. Mm. So we believe that that support happens through connection and shared experience, and it's at everybody's own pace.
Well, and one of the best things about Parachute House is that it's not a one-time stay. People okay. can keep returning. There is like a gap, like it's a week or two between visits, but it is not just a one time and done.
Okay. Yeah. So if we meet an individual who's going to need maybe a little more than a week to get everything organized and strategized in their life, you know, we extend that support. We continue working with them. We also have a 24/7 support line that they can call. So we stay connected, and we make sure that everybody who comes in these doors leaves feeling like they received and were heard, they received something that was going to benefit them moving forward, and that they were understood, and that we cared about learning about them and what they needed. That is really important to us.
And it's you're also saying you stay connected to them as well. So it's not like, okay, you were through this 7-day program, now see ya, you're on your own kind of thing. I know you said they can circle back around, but do you then provide support services for them after that stay and say, okay, you know, you're in a good place right now, and then they move on?
Yeah, absolutely. And I personally, every individual, we've had over 2,000 people, or not over, almost 2,000 people come to the respite since we opened in 2019. And
wow.
Every single person literally has a special place in my heart. Mm-hmm. I stay connected to them. There's so many amazing success stories that I would love to share, but, you know, that could always be done at another time.
Well, you can always share one. I think it's so important, again, for people to just get a grasp on how that's affecting people.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And since opening, like I said, we served nearly 2,000 people navigating trauma, mental health, substance use, homelessness, and despair. We've also fight on the front lines of the opioid epidemic every day. We provide connections, substance use resources. We remained open during COVID when isolation and overdoses were at their worst. While I was working at the respite, I had responded to 2 severe fentanyl overdoses. These weren't typical fallout overdoses. They were life-threatening emergencies. In one case, a young man was barely alive. Because of my experience and because of my intuition, something called me to go and check on him that day. When I'd found him, his kidneys had shut down. He was suffering from pulmonary edema, choking on his own fluids from his lungs. And this is the height of COVID, mind you. So I'm here giving mouth to mouth to this tortured soul. And I can say that because I was that tortured soul. Mm. And I'd administered Narcan and gave him CPR. And it was those actions that kept him alive till the paramedics came. Mm. And those are one of those moments, like I said, I've had a few different unfortunate encounters with overdoses that had to been the most severe. We almost lost him. And I'll never forget the uncertainty of knowing if he was going to make it when he left in the paramedics that day. It was a few days later, he did end up calling and reaching out to me. That's how I ended up finding out that he had lost one of his kidneys. He had still one functioning enough. It was on dialysis, was in the hospital, was alive. And he called. He was, you know, he was so full of shame and apologetic, and he didn't want to tarnish the place that he felt so safe at. But it was the addiction that led him to do that and use in the house. But he basically just wanted to say he was sorry. And I didn't meet his shame with judgment. Mm. I told him that, you know what, we understand, and we're going to believe in you until you learn to believe in yourself.
Right.
Because you can do this, and we know it works, and we are testimonies of that actually being true and not just hearsay.
But for that, for him to be able to call and speak to her after those events,
yeah,
is why it is so vital that this service stays open, because you don't get that human connection at the emergency rooms, right? They're busy. They're coming in and out of the rooms. These people stay. You get to know them. You get to know their past, all of those things. And for him to be able to call and say, hey, I'm sorry, or this or that, it just changes the game. It makes this program absolutely essential to this city.
Yeah. And where is the location? Where is the Parachute House?
So the location,
or are you not able to say?
It's not disclosed to the public.
Okay. Okay.
You are given the address once you're approved on your arriving, because we do often serve as a safe haven for people fleeing domestic violence situations.
Got it. Okay.
And, you know, we just want to keep that private in the house here. But yeah, I mean, those moments, they aren't coincidences. That's purpose.
Right.
And Parachute House is not just a program, it's a lifeline. And keeping our doors open for people to live long enough to find their hope, the same way someone once helped me live long enough to find mine, is everything. And this isn't theoretical. Recently, we've been asking the questions, a simple question, what would you have done or where would you have gone if Parachute House wasn't available to you? Mm. And the answers are sobering. They're sobering. We had 26 people say they would have self-harmed. We had 38 people said they would have relapsed. When we had 16 people said they would have attempted suicide. And these are this isn't just data. These are real moments,
real lives.
People.
Yeah.
And real crisis.
Yeah. Wow. Well, we talked about a lot of things today, many of the challenges that people face when dealing with mental health issues, but you also shared a lot of really great resources that are designed to help and provide those solutions to this mental health challenge. What would you say is the most important thing our space needs right now in order to continue this support for the people that you serve and to carry on your mission?
Ongoing support matters so much right now to us. The Parachute House is facing a funding gap through 2027, and community support is what allows us to keep our doors open and save lives in the meantime. Every contribution makes a difference, and to learn ways and find out more ways to help our mission and help peer-run respites and the missions of peers, you can find us on ourspaceinc.org.
Okay. Ourspaceinc.org is the place that you can go to connect with our space, or you can just check out our show notes and there'll be more information there. Thank you, Jennifer and Melissa. I really appreciate you sharing your personal stories and all the great ways that you provide support to those who struggle with mental health. So thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. We appreciate you having us.
You are certainly welcome. Well, I'd like to thank our guests for listening today to Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where you learn about nonprofits like Our Space, and you learn about the leaders and the everyday heroes who are making an impact in our community through their purpose, their passion, and their generosity. To hear more inspiring stories and maybe even find a place to plug in and share your time, your talents, and your resources, just tap the subscribe button or go to ellenbecker.com/podcasts. Whether you're at home, at work, or out in the community, find a way to be a blessing and give a blessing. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If something in today's conversation resonated with you, share it with a friend or family member. And if you haven't already, subscribe so you never miss an episode. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, we believe education and community impact go hand in hand. That's why we love bringing you thoughtful insights from leaders and organizations who care deeply about making a difference in Milwaukee and beyond.
Please note, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes and to highlight philanthropic efforts in our community. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellen Becker Investment Group employees and leaders. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll see you next time.